A Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI.
Hello and welcome. Today we're doing a deep dive into a really fascinating source.
That's right. We're looking at Andy Weir's project Hail Mary. Now, okay, it is science fiction, but what we're doing today is a bit different. We're extracting the nonfiction insights.
Exactly. Think of it less about the aliens and spaceships, though they're cool, and more about what it tells us about, well, us. Humanity's ability to solve massive problems,
yeah.
Innovate under pressure.
And cooperate, sometimes in really unexpected ways, especially when facing, you know, an existential crisis.
And the science itself feels incredibly solid, doesn't it?
It really does. And that comes down to the author, Andy Weir. His background isn't primarily writing. He was a computer programmer, a software engineer.
Right. So he brings that very systematic, logical thinking to his fiction. It's why people call it hard science fiction.
Yeah, it's rigorously researched. When characters solve problems, they're using actual physics, actual chemistry. The solutions feel earned, not just like plot magic.
He makes really complex stuff accessible, and not just accessible, but absolutely central to the plot. It's not just window dressing.
Okay, so let's lay out the core situation for you. The Earth is in serious trouble. There's this microorganism called astrophage.
Terrifying concept, really. It feeds directly on the sun's energy.
Yeah, so the sun is dimming fast. We're talking global cooling, extinction level event. The stakes couldn't be higher.
Literally everything. And our way into this is through Dr. Ryland Grace. He's a former molecular biologist, kind of retreated into being a middle school science teacher.
Simpler life, you'd think. But he wakes up on this spaceship, the Hail Mary, and total amnesia. No idea who he is, why he's there, nothing.
It's such a great hook. He doesn't know the mission, doesn't remember the crisis.
So he has to figure everything out from absolute scratch. It's like a masterclass in first principles thinking, isn't it? You can't rely on memory.
Exactly. He has to deduce his reality. He knows physics, even if he doesn't know his own name. So he starts measuring things.
Like calculating the artificial gravity on the ship.
Mm-hmm. Analyzing the air composition, running basic chemical tests, just piecing together the fundamental facts of his situation.
And that process, that breaking down of this overwhelming unknown into small, manageable scientific questions.
Yeah.
That's really the first big takeaway here, I think. How to approach the impossible.
Absolutely. It sets the stage for the whole scientific mindset of the story.
So when the stakes are that high global extinction, you can imagine the kind of leadership needed back on Earth. It wasn't going to be committees and consensus building.
No, definitely not. Which brings us to this character, Dr. Eva Stratt. She's the mission director for Project Hail Mary.
And she is intense. The source paints her as this figure of pure, ruthless pragmatism, almost utilitarian to the extreme.
Yeah, she's basically given absolute authority, carte blanche, because someone has to make the incredibly hard choices when survival is on the line.
Morally complex choices, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, she essentially forces Grace onto this mission against his will.
Right, because she sees him not as a person with rights, necessarily, but as a critical resource. His specific scientific knowledge is needed. Collective survival trumps individual preference.
It's efficient. You can't deny that. Probably necessary to even get the Hail Mary built and launched. But there's a tension there, isn't there? Between that cold logic and, well, the human element that Grace embodies later.
That's a central theme, I think. Stratt provides the rigid structure needed to start, but Grace provides the flexibility and maybe the humanity needed to actually succeed in the long run.
So what was the smoking gun? How did they know for sure this astrophage thing was real and crucially biological?
Ah, that was a Petrova line. Sounds technical, I know.
Yeah, break that down for us. What is it?
Okay, so basically stars dim naturally for various reasons, right? And internal processes. But the Petrova line is a specific, unique pattern they saw in the sun's light spectrum. Think of it like a fingerprint.
A fingerprint, okay.
Yeah, a fingerprint that proved the energy loss wasn't just some natural dimming. It was being actively consumed by something biological, the astrophage.
Got it. So it wasn't physics, it was biology causing the dimming.
Precisely. And that's why they needed Grace. His specialty wasn't just molecular biology, it was specifically non-water-based life forms. They needed someone who could think outside the Earth biology box.
And the irony, which I love, is that the astrophage, the very thing threatening Earth,
is also the fuel for the Hail Mary.
Right. It's this incredibly efficient energy source. The enemy is literally powering the rescue mission.
It's brilliant. And that structure you mentioned, the dual timeline, Grace figuring things out in space now,
yeah.
mixed with flashbacks showing how the mission came together,
mm-hmm.
it keeps that problem-solving aspect front and center. He's constantly getting new data, either from his recovering memory or from, you know, his current experiments, and integrating it. Systematic thinking in action.
Okay, so Grace makes this incredibly long journey, 12 light years to the Tau Ceti system, because it's the only other star showing that Petrova line signature. But somehow, it stabilized.
Exactly. Something there stopped the astrophage from completely consuming Tau Ceti. That's the hope. But when he gets there, things take a massive turn.
Yeah, this is where it goes from a survival story to something bigger.
Right.
He finds he's not alone. There's another ship.
An alien spacecraft.
Yeah.
And inside is, well, Rocky.
Rocky, probably one of the most memorable alien characters in recent fiction.
Absolutely. So Rocky is physically very different. He's described as sort of spider-like, big, lives in a high-pressure methane environment.
And communicates using sound, like musical chords and vibrations, completely alien.
Totally. But here's the crucial connection. Rocky is also the sole survivor from his planet's mission. His world, Arid, is also being threatened by the astrophage.
So they share the exact same existential threat. That's the common ground.
That's the starting point. And this is where that idea of a universal language comes in so powerfully. How do they even begin to communicate?
Not by learning English or Iridian.
No, no time for that. They use science, math, physics, the periodic table.
Universal constants, things that are true everywhere in the universe.
Exactly. They start simple, like confirming the value of pi, then basic physics principles, then chemistry, atomic weights, building block by building block.
It's such a brilliant demonstration of science, of this fundamental bridge between intelligent species. It bypasses culture entirely.
It really is. And Rocky himself, he's just fantastic. He's got this infectious curiosity and optimism.
His catchphrase is, amaze. Good, good, good question.
Yeah. It's more than just charming, though, that constant questioning, that amaze reaction to new data.
Mm-hmm.
That's the scientific spirit, isn't it? Always observing, always wondering.
Totally. And their skills match perfectly. Grace is the biologist, the theorist. He understands the astrophage, the life science part.
Mm-hmm.
But Rocky, he's the engineer, an absolutely brilliant one. He can build anything, fix anything.
They complete each other, scientifically speaking. Grace understands the what and the why. Rocky figures out the how.
There's that great line that sums it up. Scientists see a mountain. Engineers see a tunnel. I'm a scientist. All I see is a mountain.
Exactly. Grace sees the biological problem, the mountain. Rocky immediately starts thinking about how to tunnel through it, how to build the solution.
Like when they needed to figure out how to refine more astrophage for fuel mid-journey.
Right. Grace understood the chemical process, but Rocky could actually, like, fabricate the complex centrifuge needed using materials scavenged from both ships. It's pure collaborative genius.
And together, pooling their knowledge, their different ways of thinking, they find the answer.
They do. On a planet in the Tau Ceti system, they discover Taumiba.
The natural predator of astrophage. The potential cure.
The solution is in hand. But, this is where the science leads to a massive ethical gut punch.
Yeah, the Taumiba works. It eats astrophage. But there's a catch in its biology, isn't there?
A huge one. Grace figures out the Taumiba need nitrogen to reproduce effectively. It's key to their life cycle.
Okay. And Earth's atmosphere is?
About 78% nitrogen. Perfect environment for the Taumiba. They'll eat the astrophage around Earth, run out of food, and then the population will crash because Earth's environment, while nitrogen-rich, isn't their ideal habitat long-term. It works.
It saves Earth. But Rocky's planet, Arid.
Arid has a methane-based atmosphere. High pressure, high temperature, and crucially, no nitrogen.
So the Taumiba, they can't reproduce there. They can't establish themselves. The cure won't work for Arid.
Devastating. After all that collaboration, all that shared hope, the solution only works for one of them.
Which sets up this incredibly difficult choice for Grace. He has enough fuel to send probes with the Taumiba back to Earth or to take the Taumiba samples back to Arid with Rocky, not both.
Right. Does he fulfill the mission objective, save humanity, and go home a hero, leaving his friend's species to die?
Or does he sacrifice his own return, his own species potentially, to save Rocky and the Iridians?
It's the ultimate test. Loyalty versus duty, friendship versus species survival. It really elevates the story beyond just clever science.
And amidst all this high-stakes drama and, you know, complex science, the book emphasizes something really human. resilience through humor.
Oh, absolutely. Grace's inner monologue, his constant sarcastic wit, his self-deprecating jokes.
It's not just comic relief, is it? It feels like a genuine coping mechanism, a way to stay sane and functional when facing, well, the end of the world.
Definitely. Keeping morale up, maintaining mental clarity under that kind of pressure, humor is a survival tool. Just as important as knowing physics, maybe.
And that friendship, the bond between Grace and Rocky, it becomes so central. It's symbolized by that gesture they develop.
This me.
Yeah. It's a simple, physical expression of their partnership, their trust. It cuts across all their biological differences.
It really shows how connection, that emotional support, is vital, especially when things are incredibly tough. It provides practical support, too. They rely on each other implicitly.
And yet, underpinning all the emotion and sacrifice, there's still that core principle of scientific objectivity. That quote.
Science doesn't care about your feelings. The universe is under no obligation to make sense to you.
Right. It's a reminder, maybe echoing Strat's pragmatism a bit, that you have to deal with reality as it is, not how you wish it would be. You need that clear-eyed view, even when making deeply human choices.
It's the blend of that objectivity with Grace's ultimate empathy that makes the ending so powerful.
So let's bring this back home. What are the practical sort of real-world takeaways from this fictional journey? What can you apply?
Well, for crisis management, definitely that idea of first principles thinking under pressure. When you're facing something overwhelming, break it down.
Yeah, don't get paralyzed by the enormity. Focus on the basic components you can understand and control, like Grace figuring out gravity when he first woke up.
Exactly. And the collaboration aspect is huge for, say, work environments. Think about cross-departmental projects or even international partnerships.
The Grace-Rocky dynamic is kind of a model for that, isn't it? Requires patience, finding creative ways to communicate.
Mm-hmm. Bridging different languages or areas of expertise, and crucially, focusing on the shared goal, even if your approaches or backgrounds are wildly different.
Recognizing that those different perspectives, the scientist and the engineer, are actually a strength when combined. Innovation happens at those intersections.
Absolutely. You need both the mountain view and the tunnel view.
But the final takeaway, the thing that really lands with a surprising resonance, is what actually happens to Grace.
He makes the choice. He chooses friendship, chooses Rocky.
Yeah, he sends the probes to Earth, ensuring humanity survives. But he uses the last of his fuel to take the Tomiba and Rocky back to Arid.
Knowing he can likely never return home, he saves Arid, becomes a guest there, living in a specially prepared habitat.
He's not the returning hero astronaut. His story doesn't end with a ticker tape parade on Earth.
No. And years later, what's his role on Arid? What has he dedicated his life to?
He's teaching.
He's a science teacher for the young Iridians, passing on his knowledge, fostering their curiosity. He went back to his roots, in a way.
Which leads to that final provocative thought, maybe the deepest insight of the whole thing.
Perhaps an individual's greatest contribution isn't the single world-saving discovery, but the act of teaching, the ability to inspire curiosity, to pass on knowledge to the next generation.
Yet maybe that's the most fundamental requirement for long-term survival, even interstellar survival, the legacy of a teacher.
It suggests that nurturing that spark of inquiry might be the most powerful act of all. Pretty profound, coming out of a story that started with amnesia and killer space microbes.
Absolutely. A truly amazing journey, both literally and thematically.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.